Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's right. What are they called? Synoptic Gospels? Sure, his life and ministry when he was on the earth. A synopsis of his earthly ministry. That's right. Did you enjoy learning a few facts about those Gospels? Well, I think we're going to start a little study on the book of Acts. And as you know, I'll often use our Wednesday night studies and sometimes our Sunday school studies as a lead-in for something that I'll cover in much greater detail in the Sunday night services. And I think I can see something coming along concerning the gospel and what the gospel is about. We talked about the synoptic gospels, and we talked about the fact that it was a account of all that Jesus did and said during his ministry. But let's think about a couple of other things tonight. First of all, what does the word gospel mean? It means good news. It sure does. Do you suppose the fact that somebody could be saved and go to heaven when they die, even if they were Gentiles, would be good news? Do you think it would be good news if you were a Jew to find out that the Lord was going to come and set up his kingdom and set Israel at the head of the nations? Don't say, because I'm not a Jew, I couldn't know that. Yeah, you should know the answer to that. If you were a Jew, would you want the Messiah to come? Would that be good news? Sure. That'd be the gospel, wouldn't it? As a matter of fact, both of those things would be the gospel, wouldn't they? And as a matter of fact, there are several gospels in the New Testament. Only one plan of salvation, but several gospels. And that's something that if we are going to understand who and what we are in Christ and where we fit into God's grand scheme of things, you've got to understand this. Because if you make a Jew out of yourself and you put yourself under the ministry that the Lord had in the Synoptic Gospels, you're going to miss out on quite a few things, like all of the Pauline epistles. What are the Pauline epistles good for? Spiritual growth for who? You said church. Who would the church be? Is the church Israel? Has the church ever been Israel? Will the church ever be Israel? Ah, good. At least you're able to separate that in your minds. You have to have that separated in your minds, because if you don't, you're going to start mixing up the good news that the Lord has for the Jews in the millennial kingdom and the good news that he has for us as New Testament believers. And we're going to grab hold of the wrong promises and ignore or be ignorant of the ones that do apply to us. So it's really important. Let me ask another question. What is dispensationalism? Or what is a dispensation, more properly? Okay, it's a period of time where God deals with men. That's true. How do dispensations end? All right, they end abruptly. That's true. In failure. Name me a dispensation that ended abruptly and in failure. Give me an example. Sure. Noah. The antediluvian dispensation. It ended abruptly and in failure. How did the patriarchal dispensation end? What does that mean, patriarchal dispensation? It's been a while since we studied the dispensations, hasn't it? Yes. What does patriarch mean? If you've been watching the news this week, you should know what patriarch means. Papa. I mean, they have the wrong idea about it, but he's the grand patriarch. Who am I talking about? The Pope! The Pope is the patriarch of the Catholic Church. He's the head father. Well, there was a period in time where God governed the earth through families. How did it turn out? Give me a book in the Bible. Okay, part of Genesis is that way. Which one particularly where Israel was up and down like a yo-yo and every man did right that which was right in his own eyes? Sure, absolutely. How did that end? Sure. How about the dispensation of the law? What do I mean when I say dispensation of the law? Which one was that? Where did it start and where did it end? Okay, with Moses, what did Moses do? Sure, he gave the law, the Ten Commandments. When did the dispensation of the law end? With Christ. Okay. Actually, not quite. But we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the end of the dispensation of the law and the beginning of the dispensation of grace, because that's what the book of Acts is about. The book of Acts is a transition between the fact that Jesus came to set up an earthly kingdom, but the Jews rejected it and crucified the Messiah, right up until the stoning of Stephen. And then when Stephen is stoned, that's a pivotal event in the book of Acts. God calls somebody whose name is Paul, absolutely, and appoints him an apostle. He became a disciple, but he was appointed an apostle. And what does the word apostle mean? A sent one. So the Lord is going to use the apostle Paul. He's going to send him to do something. Now there are also 12 other apostles, are there not? They are also sent ones, aren't they? Do you think that the 12 and the one had the same ministry? Obviously not. The book of Acts is going to really outline some of these things that we need to understand. Otherwise, we're going to start mixing up Israel and the church. And when you do that, you start stealing Israel's promises that God made to them, and then you're ignorant of the ones that God made to us, and we never really quite figure out who we are. And you know what happens when you don't know if you're coming or going? Ever been there? It gets rather confusing, isn't it? And you can be spiritually confused by not knowing who you are and where you fit in. And God wants you to know that. That's why He put the Bible in front of you. Amen? Okay, let's start with the book of Acts then, shall we? Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. What is a treatise? The former treatise. What is a treatise? Huh? It's a writing, yes, it's a writing. What does the word former mean? Huh? Prior, something that I wrote before. So he opens the book of Acts by saying, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Well, what's the former treatise? What's he talking about here when he says, the former treatise have I made? Sure. Ah, Miss Elsie's sharp. Now we know who the I is here, don't we? The former treatise have I. So who's writing the book of Acts? Luke. Who's he writing it to? O Theophilus. Do you know who Theophilus is? Or what the word means? It sounds pretty Greek, doesn't it? It's one of those Greek-y names. Actually, it's a compound word. Theo and phileo. Theos, phileo. Theos. Lover of God. That's right. Theos is God. Phileo is love. A lover of God. Theologians differ on whether this is a real, actual, living person that he mentions here, or whether he means anybody that loves God. I personally think he wrote this epistle to anybody that loves God. Nevertheless, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Okay, what does it mean when Luke says, until the day in which he was taken up? What's this taken up business, and who is the he? Jesus, that's right, and what's taken up mean? Yeah, he ascended, amen, to the right hand of the power of the majesty on high. And so, Luke is saying here, you know that gospel that I wrote? It contains all the stuff that Jesus said and did right up until the day that he was taken up. But before he was taken up, by the Holy Ghost, he gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. What were the commandments that he gave? Spread the word. That's right. What is that sometimes called, that commandment that he gave to the apostles? The Great Commission. That's not biblical language, but that's often what we call it, the Great Commission. By the way, what is a commission? What does that word mean, co-mission? Are missionaries really missionaries, or are they co-missionaries? All right. What's the difference between a missionary and a co-missionary? Amen. That's right. That's why it's a co-mission. We can't do anything by ourselves, can we? We can go out and preach the word, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't work, can anyone be saved? No. That's right. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Why do you suppose that the Holy Spirit had Luke put that in there? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. What is the cornerstone of our faith? Sure. What do you think he's talking about here? Resurrection. The resurrection. Absolutely. So, Luke is really setting things out in order here, isn't he? He's hitting all the high ground. What's an infallible proof? All right, there's no lie in it. What is a proof?
There's nothing that can disprove it.
All right, there's nothing that can disprove it. Do you suppose the word infallible modifies proof? Does it make the word proof stronger? What is a proof?
Absolute.
It's an absolute. It's the making of a case for truth, isn't it? And that word infallible makes it a lot stronger, doesn't it? I mean, there's proofs and then there are infallible proofs. Being seen of them 40 days. Is there any significance to the number 40 in the Scripture? I'll let you gestate on that for a while. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. Is there a significance to that phrase? Kingdom of God. Now you're going to have to really tighten down your thinking caps, because we're getting into the material now. right here in the third verse. He shows the disciples, the apostles, he shows himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Who's the them? Okay, that's true. But this relates in a special way to verse number 2. Let's go back to verse number 2. This is something that I want you to understand because it has something to do with the message that the 12 will be preaching. Let's read verse number 2 again. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Does verse number 2 end in a period? What does it end in? Mine has a full colon. Okay. What does a colon do? It connects two sentences, doesn't it? Because they're one. Okay. So here we have the 12 given commandments. And then verse number 3, to whom also, who is the whom here then? Sure. Now, others did see him because he was seen of more than 500 brethren at once, right? So, that's a very infallible proof. But that isn't where Luke is going with this. Luke wants you to zero in now on the 12. He wants you to think about the 12, okay? So, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs being seen of them. Who's the them? The apostles again. Okay? You really need to pay attention to punctuation because it tells you something. All right? Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to what? Okay, mark that down. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? You knew I'd get to that, didn't you? I gave you several minutes preparation here. I said that that phrase, the kingdom of God, has a special significance just like 40 days does. Now, it's not the same thing. When you see the phrase kingdom of God in the scriptures, what does that mean to you? Okay, there's one idea. Can somebody tell me what's wrong with that idea? Who's going to live in the New Jerusalem? Yeah. May kind of thinks that little dog's going to be in there too, but we won't disappoint her too soon. Believers. Believers from what age? Who dwells with the groom in the New Jerusalem? The bride. Who is the bride? The church. Now, who were the 12 pertaining to? Hey, yeah. So the kingdom of God must not be the New Jerusalem because it's two different people. Where's the kingdom of God going to be? Where is the nation of Israel to dwell during the millennium? And where are they to dwell in the new heavens and the new earth? Okay, can you see then, just by logical thinking here, it can't be the New Jerusalem. So what is the kingdom of God? Okay. What was the message of John the Baptist? Let's talk about the message of John the Baptist just for a moment, since we're Baptists. Is John the Baptist a big B Baptist? No. What was the message of John the Baptist? What did he preach? Just give me the essence of what he preached. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand. What did he mean by that? The kingdom of God is at hand. I mean, it's right here. And then what was the message that Jesus preached? Repent and believe the gospel because it was the same message as John the Baptist. Sure, absolutely. What did Jesus come to do? And who was supposed to be the head of that kingdom? And what were the people of the kingdom? Yeah, can you see that? That's kind of important now. If you don't understand that, you are going to think that Jesus came and John the Baptist was announcing that the church was going to come. That wasn't what he was announcing. He was announcing that he was the Messiah and he had come to set up the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Some people are shaking their head and it doesn't make sense. Okay, let's go back and look the matter through then. I think that's what we should do at this point. All right. I want you to see this clearly because it's important that you understand this. If you don't, okay, turn to the book of Matthew, please, in chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 3. Forgive me. Matthew chapter 3, in verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye for the
kingdom of God is at hand.
At hand. What does it mean, at hand?
It's right there. It's
ready. Yes. It doesn't mean like it's 2,000 years away, does it? How long ago were these words spoken? More than 2,000 years. That's not at hand, is it? That's right. Okay. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 25. And there followed him great multitudes of people from. Yeah, when I stop reading, that means you're supposed to read that word. Galilee and from. And from. And from. And from. Okay. What kind of people lived in Galilee? No. Galileans. That's true. That was clever. What ethnic extraction were the Galileans? Man, somebody missed their calling as a lawyer. And from Decapolis. Decapolis means the 10 cities. And from Jerusalem. That's easy. Who lived there? Sure, they're all Jews. They're all Jews. That's the thing that you want to mark down. They're all Jews. Now, let's go back over to the day of Pentecost, shall we? Flip back over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Just a second here. I'm looking up something else, too. Because this is important, and I want you to understand this. All right, Acts chapter 2 and verse number, let's start at 7. And they were all amazed and marveled. Now, don't you wonder who the all is? Sure, I'm trying to make you curious at every step here, so you'll study these things out for yourself, and you just won't read little three-letter words like all and pass it by. All of who is the first thing that should come to mind. Well, I knew you would be curious, so let's check it out. Behold, are not these which speak Galileans? Okay, what ethnic extraction of people lived in Galilee? Sure, and who are these Galileans that are doing the speaking? It's the disciples. Who are they speaking to? Let's figure it out. You're right, but it's spelled out here. Verse number 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So who is the R and the we? That's what we want to know. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Who is at the day of Pentecost and hearing tongues spoken? Let's see if it's everyone. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, so on and so forth. But come down to the end of verse number 10 and see what it says. Jews and proselytes. Yeah, exactly. How did they come to be in those countries? Sure. Where is, in verse number 9, see where it says Medes? Where did the Medes live? In Media? They did. I know, you're thinking of the mainstream media. Well, this media was pretty mainstream. Wasn't that one of the kingdoms that the Jews were deported into? Remember the four successive Gentile world powers? The Medo-Persian Empire. Remember that? Sure, well, they're still there, aren't they? Look at this, dwellers in Mesopotamia. What is Mesopotamia? What does Mesopotamia mean? Okay, what does the word Mesopotamia mean? It means between the rivers. Between what rivers? The Euphrates is right. The Tigris and Euphrates. Where is that place on the world today? Yes, absolutely. Remember Nebuchadnezzar came and hauled them all off? Daniel was one of those captives, remember? Some of them never went back to Israel with Zerubbabel. Remember when Zerubbabel got permission to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city from the Medo-Persian king Xerxes? And they went back and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and all that? Nehemiah? Remember? Well, not all of them went back. Many of the Jews continued to live in that place. Many of the Jews lived in Babylon. As a matter of fact, Peter writes his epistle in the New Testament to the Jews that lived in Babylon. So you've got all of these Jews out of all of these different countries in the world, and they're gathered together in Jerusalem. Now, why were they gathered together in Jerusalem? It was just an accident. Continental Airlines had a special. Yeah, you're onto the right idea. It's not the Passover. It tells you right in the very first several words of chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was one of the feast days. What does the word Pentecost mean? 50th, 50 days. 50 days after what? 50 days after the Passover. That's right. Pentecost was one of the feast days where all of the Jewish men had to go up and assemble before the temple. Remember from the Old Testament, they had these feast days, and some of the feast days, they all had to go to Jerusalem. It was a pilgrimage that they did every year if they were devout Jews. And so here they've come up to the Pentecost, or they come up to the temple, or Jerusalem rather, on the day of Pentecost. They've gathered themselves together, and here's the spectacle of these Galileans who everybody knows can't even read and write. They misspell their own last names. And here they are preaching the wonderful works of God, and everybody's hearing them in their own tongue, and they're all Jews. Remember that. That's important. Now go back to the book of Matthew. I'm sorry, Mark. Boy, am I having trouble tonight. Now, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Okay. What Jesus preached. A moment ago in Matthew, we looked at what John preached. Then I showed you that all the people at Pentecost were Jews. Now I'm going to show you what Jesus preached. Okay? That's kind of what I'm going for here. And it would be in the 14th verse. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 14. Now that after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the... No kidding! Verse number 15, and saying, the time is, and the kingdom of God is, repent ye and believe the gospel. What gospel? Yeah, can you see that now? Does everybody now see that Jesus Christ came to set up an earthly kingdom with his capital at Jerusalem? Can you see that? John the Baptist came and announced to who? What people did John preach to? The Jews. And his message was? The kingdom of God is at hand. And now Jesus, after John is put into prison, continues and begins to preach this message himself. And what is his message? Yeah. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So what gospel is he preaching? What good news? That the kingdom of God is at hand. Man, that should have been good news, don't you think? The Jews were tired of being ruled by the Romans, weren't they? Well, sure they were. Okay. Now the Jews didn't give up on this idea, at least not the apostles. Okay? Let me see. I should be having a brainstorm. I'll find it. I didn't prepare for this. Somebody just had to get me off course by acting perplexed. Here it is. I knew I could find it. Okay, it's Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, who is the they? Remember, it's tied together. We talk about that colon in the first verse. That's right, the apostles. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him. Who's the him? You only have to read two more words to figure that out, right? The Lord. Saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What are they asking him? Which kingdom? That's right. The one that he offered to set up before they crucified him. Can you see that? So here are the Jewish disciples asking the Lord after he's risen from the dead, okay, Lord, are you going to set up your kingdom now? You don't suppose those Jews were pretty antsy about getting this kingdom set up, do you? I think they were. Don't you suppose it blew their mind when their own leaders crucified their Messiah? What's the answer? Verse number 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Did he answer their question, or did he put them off? Sure he did. They come up to him now and say, Lord, okay, we realize that we got off to a really bad start here. John the Baptist announced who you were. And by the way, we were down at the river that day and we heard him. And that's why we beheld the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, came and followed you. And we've been following you for this last 3 years. And it looked like it went awful bad when they crucified you. But, we weren't really expecting you to raise from the dead. But we didn't have any faith. But here you are. And now we believe. Okay, now are you going to set up the kingdom? Yes, Barb.
In verse number 6, it says, at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was Israel ever a kingdom before this time?
Yes.
Who was the king?
David.
Who was a man after?
God.
But he wasn't the
Messiah.
Now do you see what they said again? Does that explain it?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, capital L-O-R-D. What does that tell you? They figured out who he is. Capital L-O-R-D, Lord, Jehovah God. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, are you going to set up your kingdom? Is Israel going to be at the head of the nations once again and not be the tail? Can you see that he's saying that? I sure hope you can, because I'm 4 minutes over. I'm on your nickel now. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. How did he answer that question? Not for you to know. Did he say, I'll never set up the kingdom? They had their chance and they blew it. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, it's just not for you to know. In other words, the Father has a plan and you've got some orders. And here they are. And he gives them the Great Commission. Okay? Let's pray. Our dear Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts to understand this. For Lord, our desire is to get to know you closer and in a more perfect way. And Lord, oftentimes we confuse ourselves by putting ourselves under the law, by going back to what the millennial kingdom is going to be. And Lord, you have other things for us. I pray, Lord, that you'd teach us and show us patiently, precept upon precept and line upon line, who and what we are in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.